This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. We return to our ongoing series of conversations with North Carolina mayors today. We've been checking in with local leaders across the state. Up to now, we've heard from four counties, Pasquotank, Cherokee, Cumberland, and Durham. Today, we head south on I-95 and take exit 10 to visit what used to be known as the biggest little tobacco market in the world. Tobacco wasn't the first commodity boom for this town of 2,600 people. Timber and textiles before that. Nowadays, however, important employers include meat processors and the state prison system. Joining us from southeastern corner of this state, I'd like to welcome the mayor of Fairmont, North Carolina, Charles Townsend. Mayor Townsend, welcome to the State of Things.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Take us back to the heyday of tobacco. You were working in your father's gas station, right?
Yes, I was working there at my father's gas station, and tobacco was a big part of the summer. Yes.
Well, I'm guessing that you got to see a lot of people come through, and it must have been a pretty interesting place because, you know, tobacco in what way? Tobacco growing, tobacco auctioning, you're bringing people in from all over, right?
From all over. Basically, the families and the community worked in the fields to harvest the tobacco.
Yeah. So what were the summer highs? What was it like for you? Because now, of course, with the interstate, when was that around? I don't know if that was in your time that it got built or extended.
It got built, yes.
Yeah.
I was around when the interstate 95 got built down through, right at the corner of Fairmont here, exit 10, about 8 miles out of town.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what was it like? A lot of people passing through then, or were you mostly engaged with people in town?
Well, we did have a lot. We had a lot of people headed to Myrtle Beach. A lot of people stopping and getting gas. They said, "How do I get to Myrtle Beach?" And we would tell them, "Take 41 down to Lakeview, South Carolina. Hit number nine, or take in the steam."
Do you? That was when the gas station was the GPS of the world, right? That's when.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
A lot of arguments over whether to stop and get directions, but once you did, that's where you went. You also worked at the ice house, right?
Yeah, we run an ice house, and that was, we supplied the farmers and the warehouses with ice. It was hot during the summer months, and you got to have cold water. And that was a busy thing for the summer for me to work and have money to buy school clothes.
A lot of migrant workers at that time?
You know, I wasn't aware of a lot of migrant workers at that time. We didn't have a lot of them because, like I said, families work tobacco fields. Mm. Yeah. You live on the, as a sharecropper. And most of the sharecroppers had children, and that's what they looked for, the land owners, families.
Now, At a certain point, I know you chose to leave town. Talk about your decision and where you went.
Well, I went to Conway, Myrtle Beach area. I was a pick and pay shoe store manager. And I went there to be a pick and pay shoe store manager.
Was it your idea then that you were leaving Fairmont forever and you're going to keep moving on, or what?
Well, you know, yes, I want to live at the beach, and I want to sell timeshare and live at the beach because that was the life I wanted to live. I knew there would be plenty of people to sell to, and that's what I wanted to do.
What happened?
Well, life kind of brought me back to Fairmont. I got married, and my wife didn't like the beach.
Hmm.
So we moved back to Fairmont, and I started selling.
Now, you shuffled between a few jobs, right, because you were also a substitute teacher, and talk about
got
that.
Got out of the car business. I started subbing in the school system and getting involved in community.
What kind of involvement beyond teaching, which is a deep involvement, but what other things were you doing?
Trying to find ways to help young people be better or achieve.
We lost a little bit of that. You're trying to help them achieve what?
To function better and be better achievers in the school system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. At the church I was going to, the church I go to at the time, I was like, okay, I talked to the pastor, and we start a Saturday academy. Where on Saturday mornings, you know, any child that a parent that felt like their child needed some extra help, I was able to get some students that needed to do some community service from the local university to come down and work with these children. And they built a bond with these children, and a lot of them did a lot better on their final tests at school.
And what were you seeing that led you to believe that you needed this kind of extra work, or that the kids needed this kind of extra work?
That a little better than half of children in the third grade fell into EOG.
EOG, end of grade?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they were failing that?
Yes.
Wow. So you thought you'd catch them early. How did it work out, and what was the response in the community?
Okay. Say that again. I kind of lost you there.
All right. Well, I wonder how that project worked out and what the response was from the community when you decided to open this up.
Well, I did it from our church. So the church was really receptive to it. And the different auxiliaries. What do the kids desire that more?
You know, you're breaking up a little bit. I think what we're going to try to do is make another connection with you. I'm talking to the mayor of Fairmont, North Carolina right now. Charles Townsend is the mayor of Fairmont, and he's been there for a number of years, first elected in 2010, and we'll talk more with him about the farm, the tobacco auctions, and the ways in which that used to be a bustling town. Textiles, then tobacco. Things have moved out, of course. Those industries are now lost. We'll talk about Mayor Townsend's efforts to bring back commerce and to bring back economic health. I also want to remind you that we want to hear from you in our next Movies on the Radio. You can be on the show. Next time we do Movies on the Radio, I want to hear about your drive-in or outdoor theater memories, since a lot of us may be spending more time outside watching movies than inside. Movies on the Radio is going to take you to the drive-in, and we'd like to find out about your memories, whether it was a cult classic that you saw, or perhaps maybe you weren't watching the movie at the drive-in. Who knows? All of those stories are welcome on the next Movies on the Radio, SOT@WUNC.org, or you could tweet at us at the hashtag SOTMovie. And we're back now with Charles Townsend of Fairmont, North Carolina. Talk about the when town was busy. I mean, I'm trying to imagine these tobacco auctions and kind of what that town looked like. Paint the picture for us.
It was busy. I mean, it was like a Fayetteville Hay Street on Saturday night. If you've ever been to Fayetteville, North Carolina on a Saturday night.
Well,
anyway,
I've heard about it. I've heard talk.
Heard about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there was, you know, like clothing stores. We had Leviston's, PR Floors, Fairmont Department Store, where people went shopping, and they bring their family to town. You know, they had their money. They sold tobacco. And, you know, it was just busy, Fairmont, when we had the tobacco.
All right, well, those days are gone. What's it like now?
It's kind of dead. It is dead in Fairmont. It looked like a ghost town on Main Street. We had the drugstore we had. It's gone. And we only got a beauty shop, a couple barber shops, and a bank. And Fairmont Department Store is still here.
And then on top of all that, there was a strip mall that burned down, right?
Yes. We lost three stores to a fire. And it kind of hurt the economy here because we lost a hardware store, and we lost a meat store and a Dollar Tree. Dollar Tree have come back and relocated.
Mm-hmm. So what's it like? Because I know that you're trying to, you're working on revitalization efforts, and you want your location to be maybe the centerpiece of that. Talk about your vision for how things could turn around.
Things could turn around when we can, first of all, the first step is get the community together and find out what exactly it is that they want to buy into, you know. because if the community buy into it, I'm sure it'll work. And downtown is where it needs to start, because it'll remove the older look, the dilapidated buildings, if we did that. And no matter what we start outside of downtown, that old place will still be there.
So what do you, is, you know, as somebody who's been in the community all your life and, you know, has had, you know, has roots in that community, what would that look like if you assess the strengths of your neighbors, what it would be like to take those strengths and rebuild a downtown? How would you imagine it might turn out?
I think Fairmont would be a great place. I only can imagine Fairmont being a great place. And we have some good people that grew up here, and there's some good people that are here still living. And that's why I serve, because I believe in the people in this town. And so Fairmont could be a place where you could have some entertainment. You could shop. You could enjoy a safe environment, and you could have somewhere to work and, you know, survive for your family.
You're kind of right on the way to the beaches too. I suppose you could use that in your favor.
Yes, we are right on the way to the beach.
Yep.
If you're on the way to the beach and you just wanted to stop by a small town and enjoy some good old country food or country hospitality, this would be the place.
Because right now, Fairmont is near a state prison, which I'm sure employs some people from the town, and then quite a few meat processing plants, which offer jobs, but they're dangerous places to work at this time, especially susceptible to outbreaks of the virus. Also important jobs. Talk about the role of those employers in your community.
Okay. Those employees are, you know, they at a time now where this is what they knew how to survive for their family, and it worked really well. And they're taking all the precautions that they can to go to work every day and come back home safe, and their family be safe for them being around them. And it's a scary thing to them, but they still know that, you know, we're going to make the best of this, you know, and we're going to come out on the winning end. And, you know, only thing the community can do is this. If you're not essential to keeping the public safe and keeping the economy moving in a good direction, stay home.
Is that an easy message to send in your community? I'm wondering if there's a real sense of agitation that perhaps we've been closed too long. Are people anxious, and how are they feeling about the reopen order? Do they feel it should have happened earlier? What's your sense of how the folks in your town feel about where we are right now with stay at home?
I think it's getting a little. Everybody is a little bit antsy. They're tired of staying in the house. You know, that you know, the cabin fever, is, you know, everybody has been, you know, getting a little tired of that. But when we see the numbers rising every day, you know, like 31 cases in the town of Fairmont. You know.
Yeah. So I mean, 2,500 people total. Yeah.
Yeah. We know it's not time.
Right.
To open back up yet.
That's interesting. And you're a businessman yourself. You've got an insurance salesman. You run a car wash. You're selling structures. How have your businesses fared during all of this?
Well, what I've done is this. I serve on the Robson County Church and Community Center, the board of directors. And we take the afternoon and we give out food to people. They have a supply of food coming into them. And we don't wash cars. We have insurance. People that's going to keep insurance going to make sure they make that connection. They're paying it online. A lot of them, they called me on the phone and I said, well, you can go online and pay it. And, but we spend a lot of our time now, me and my brother, giving out food and some volunteers. We got some dedicated volunteers that come and help us give out food. People don't get out of their car. We have it and we pass it to them in a box and they keep on moving.
So what is it that you miss the most about Fairmont, or maybe, you know, what has been the most difficult part of this stay-at-home for you?
The most difficult part about the stay-at-home for me is understanding that we have a lot of young people that don't have internet and don't have the kind of discipline to seek an opportunity to continue to learn. And the summer months have been the months that the kids lose a lot that don't have those kind of character to continue to seek and learn during the summer months. They lose a lot of what they learn all year.
Well, it sounds like character and infrastructure if you don't have internet, right?
Right. Mm. Yep. So we need to continue to educate our people that this could be the norm for a long time, but if you want to continue to strive and be better, let's kind of find ways, ask for help, look for people that can help you steer your way into what we're facing and make the best of it.
Well, Charles Townsend, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
You're welcome, and thanks for giving me an opportunity to share, you know, my insight and feelings about the town of Fairmont.
Charles Townsend is the mayor of Fairmont, and you can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org.